And that's where we're going to start. I'm going to pick up on part two of comparing Paul's commission to the 12's commission. And I just thought it'd be kind of good to go over some of this material before missions conference and kind of give you a perspective. When people refer to the Great Commission, you've heard that. How many of you ever heard somebody talk about the Great Commission? Raise your hand. All right. Whenever you hear people talk about that, it kind of gives you the idea there's one commission in the Bible that the Lord gave that stands above all the rest. And we last week, on part one of this, we defined the word commission. You understand what that is. It's when somebody who has authority gives somebody else that authority, imparts to them that authority to act on their behalf. Well, here's the thing, church. Nowhere in the Bible does the Bible call something the Great Commission. So, you know, men have coined that term, which is okay, but I just want you to know that that's not in the Bible. The term the Great Commission is not in the Bible. Mankind has sought to label certain passages that way. Now, it's funny, different groups will label different passage the Great Commission. You know, one group likes this one, calls it the Great Commission. Another group likes this one, calls it the Great... You know, so it just depends on where you're coming from. Well, you know, if you study the Bible, what you find out is that the Bible is a series of great commissions. There's a lot of great commissions, and last week we looked at some of those. Now, a lot of Bible teachers, and they're well-meaning, but here's what they assume. They assume that Christ's words to the 11 after his resurrection, the 11, there were 12, Judas hung himself, so you got 11. All right. So the 11, he appeared to them after the resurrection and before his ascension, right? He was with them 40 days on the earth. And during that 40-day period, you know, Christ didn't just say one thing to them. Oh, okay, one thing, that's the Great Commission. No, actually, you can find commissions in Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20, and Acts 1, all contain different commissions that Christ gave to the 11 after his resurrection, during that 40-day window before he ascended back up to heaven. And here's the thing. A lot of Bible teachers say those were Christ's last words that he spoke on earth. And so, because those were Christ's last words, those are the commissions that we function under and that we operate under. That's the idea. But we saw that that was not Christ's last words. We learned that several years later, Christ reappeared from heaven. And he didn't appear to Peter or James or John. He didn't appear to any of the 11. We see that he appeared to the Apostle Paul. He appeared to Saul of Tarsus, who we know as Paul. And he gave to Paul a great commission. So the question that we're seeking to answer is this. Is Paul's great commission the same as the 11 or the 12's great commission? Did Jesus appear to Paul from heaven and just reiterate to him what he said back in Matthew 28 or what he said in Mark 16? Did he just reiterate what he told the 11? Or, in fact, was Paul's commission different? You know, and so we're taking some time to study these things out because we really need to know this. I mean, we need to know where to go in the Bible to kind of find our marching orders for today in the dispensation of grace. And what fits for today? How do we rightly divide this? Well, let me give you quickly, by review, the first two points, because that's all we got through last week. So let's get these first two. Number one, the 12 were to begin at Jerusalem. Okay, Christ made that very clear. They were to begin their commission in Jerusalem. Paul, on the other hand, when he was saved and commissioned, he was told to leave Jerusalem. Leave Jerusalem. And I'm not going to review all that. One of the things that aggravates me is whenever I listen to a CD of another preacher, you know, and he's doing a part two, and he spends 30 minutes reviewing last week's lesson. I hate that. So I'm not going to do that to you. I just start fast-forwarding it, you know. I heard all that, you know, and I just go. So I don't want you to fast-forward me tonight, all right? So let's go to number two. You can listen online or you know, get a CD and listen to that. The 12, number two, receive their commission on earth. Paul received his commission from where? From heaven. That's right. He called it the heavenly vision in Acts 26:19. And we discussed that last week, so we're not going to go into all that again. Let's dive right into number three. Okay, number three. the 12 were to go to Gentiles. That's anybody that's not a Jew. That's anybody that's not Israel. That's the nations. They were to go to Gentiles only after witnessing throughout the land area of Israel. Paul, on the other hand, was to go directly to the Gentiles. Now, let's go to Acts 1, and let's look at verse 8. And these are the last words Christ spoke to the 11 right before he went to heaven, ascended to heaven. Acts 1:8. He said, "But ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." Now notice this, "both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria." Can anybody tell me where is Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria? Where are those land areas? That's all Israel. That's right. That's all land area that would constitute what we would think of as Israel, right? Then he said, you're going to go to the uttermost part of the earth. Now, in your handout, it says, Christ made it very clear that the 12, he made it very clear to the 12 that their message must go to the land area of Israel first. God even gave them the order to do it. He said, Jerusalem, Judea, which is southern Israel, Samaria, which is working up into northern Israel. Now, in your handout, it says they would eventually go get to the Gentiles. They would eventually get to the Gentiles with their message, but not until the land area of Israel received it first. Now, go to Matthew 28. Keep your bookmarker in Acts, because we're going to go back to Acts. We'll probably be there several times tonight. Matthew 28. Go over there. Among Baptists, I guess this is the passage they like to call the Great Commission the most. And you may even hear it in our missions conference. And I told you, don't worry about that. Okay, don't fret about that. Don't worry about that. That's fine. A lot of people believe that, you know, and that's okay. They're good, godly people, and they still, so don't fret and don't worry about that. But look at Matthew 28, and look at verse number 18. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying," the 11, "all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach" what? "All nations." Now, you read that and you think, well, wait a minute. The 12's commission was just to get out there and go to the nations. Well, wait a minute, though. Remember, you got to be a good Bible student. And when you're a good Bible student, you understand that this right here has to be viewed alongside Acts 1:8. Okay? According to Acts 1:8, were they just going to, on the day of Pentecost, was the Holy Spirit going to come on them and they were just going to lickety-split go out to the nations? Yes or no? No, according to Acts 1:8, they were going to start where? Jerusalem, then where? Judea, then where? Samaria, then what were they going to do? Then they were going to get out there to the nations. You got to read Matthew 28 in light of Acts 1:8. You've also got to read it in light of Luke 24:47, where he told them that you are going to begin at Jerusalem and also go to Matthew 10. We have to read Matthew 28 in the light of Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Look what Christ tells the 12 here. He says to them, "But when they persecute you," he's given them the commission now to go out with the message that he's given them. "When they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you," can you bring me back just a little in the ace? "Ye shall not have gone over the cities of" what? "Israel." Okay, so before they've gone over all the cities of Israel with their message, according to the rest of the verse, what's going to happen? Son of Man become. So you got to read Matthew 28 in light of Matthew 10. And according to what they're thinking, the 11, okay, so they're taking everything Christ said in the 40 days, see, and putting it together. They're not just isolating one passage. So they're taking everything Christ said in those 40 days, and they're starting to put it together. Okay, we're going to take the gospel, which we're going to explain in a moment what that gospel was. Well, I'm going to take the gospel, and we're going to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, all over Israel. Okay, that makes sense. That's what he told us, you know, during the earthly ministry back here in Matthew 10. So they're thinking, all right, that makes sense. Because then Christ is going to come. And when Christ returns, what's going to happen at that point? They're going to end up going out. And they are going to end up taking that message to all of the nations in the kingdom. Okay, so they're putting this thing in order in their mind, and they're figuring this thing out. So this was the kingdom program for Israel. And here's what it was. Israel would get the gospel, and we're going to discuss what that is in a moment. They would get it first. Isn't that what Christ said when the Gentile woman came to her? The Gentile woman came to him, remember? She wanted healing for her daughter. And he said to her, it's not fitting for me to take the bread and cast it to the dogs. The bread's for the children. He's talking about Israel. He's saying, it's not fitting for me to take Israel's bread and give it over here to the Gentiles. The children must be filled first. And here was the prophetic plan. Israel would receive the bread first. They would get the gospel first. And then when they were full, then that fullness would then spill over, and they would then go out and give that bread to the nations. So this was the plan. And this explains why they were only to go to the Gentiles after witnessing to the land area of Israel first. Now, what about Paul's commission? Go to Galatians 1, and we're going to be here for a little bit. So go to Galatians chapter number 1. What about Paul's commission? Was his commission a reiteration of that? You're going to go to Israel, you're going to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, you're going to give it to Israel first, and then only will you go out to the nations. Was that the plan? Well, let me give you a statement in your handout, and then we'll read it, okay? It says in your handout, Paul began his ministry by going into Arabia. So he went into Gentile country and then Damascus, two Gentile areas. Look at Galatians 1, verse 17. Okay? He says there in verse 16, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into where? Arabia, and returned again unto Damascus. And so you know what happens, church? I know you know this. When he finally did go to Jerusalem, when he finally got to Jerusalem, okay, which is verse 18. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him. How long? So the first 3 years, Paul saved for 3 years before he ever gets to Jerusalem. Now, do you remember what happened in Jerusalem when Paul finally did get there? He was only there 15 days. You know why he was only there 15 days? You know why he didn't set up shop there? Like the 12 did? And you know why he didn't begin his ministry in Jerusalem like the 12 were commissioned to do? Because when he got to Jerusalem, you remember what happened? He was in the temple, Christ appeared to him, and Christ said, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem. Depart from Jerusalem. He told Paul, get out of here. Get out of this city. Paul kind of argued a little bit with the Lord? And he said, no, go. Well, in your handout, it's not in your handout. Go to verse 21, Galatians 1:22. What did he do after that? Afterwards, verse 21, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. That would be modern-day Turkey. Again, that's Gentile region. And was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. So, in your handout, it says there, Paul's first recorded ministry was not in Israel at all. But we read in Acts 11:25, it was in Antioch of Syria. Can anybody tell me? Paul's missionary journeys? Were any of Paul's missionary journeys, the first, second, or third, were they focused on the land area of Israel? Yes or no?
No.
They were in Gentile regions. All of his missionary journeys were into Gentile countries. Did Paul have a passion to see his people, the Jewish people, come to Christ? Yes or no? Yeah. He said in Romans 10:1, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Paul had a passion for his people, but in your handout, it says that Christ made it very clear that the focus of Paul's commission was not the conversion of Israel, but rather to reach Gentiles with the gospel of Christ. That was his focus, to reach Gentiles with the gospel of Christ. Now, you know, you read Acts 22, which I'm not going to have you turn there for time's sake right now. But when you read what Christ said, "Depart from Jerusalem, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles." He said the same thing in Acts 26. He said, "I'm going to deliver you from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee." Now, listen, church, you need to get this. No matter how you try to make the 12's commission say the same thing as Paul's, okay, if the words on the page mean anything, and they do, then you cannot make them the same. Now, if that's disappointing to you or if that's upsetting to you, I'm sorry. But when you read the words, they're not the same. Okay? When he tells one group that, you know, you're going to go over all the cities of Israel, and he tells another guy, get out of Jerusalem, I'm going to send you far hence unto the Gentiles. Is that the same wording, yes or no? No, those are clearly differing commissions. And you want to know what's amazing about that? The 12 knew it. And the 12 recognized it. Look at Galatians chapter 2. Let me show it to you. Paul finally, 17 years after he's saved, goes to Jerusalem again. You remember why he went when we studied Galatians, the Jerusalem Council, to defend his message and his gospel? Well, when he goes up there to defend it, after he gets all done explaining his ministry, explaining his commission, explaining his gospel that he's been preaching among the heathen, look what Galatians 2:9 says. And when James, Cephas, Peter, and John, okay, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto who, church? The heathen. But notice what they were going to do. They were going to confine their ministry to who? The circumcision, to Israel. Now, isn't that interesting? That, hey, they didn't say to Paul, hey, man, listen, you're stepping on our ground here. Listen, man, that's our commission. Man, that's us. We're eventually going to get out there to the Gentiles. They realized that God had committed a special gospel message and commission to Paul. And they recognize that. They understand that there's a difference here. And so they basically shake hands and say, okay, you know, you go to the heathen, we'll stick with Israel. That's interesting. So obviously they understood there was a change in program going on here. What a shame that Christendom as a whole fails to recognize what the 12 recognized. That God had changed the program. God, from Matthew 28 to way over here to Paul, God changed the program. And of course, we know it's because of Israel's rejection of that message that we're going to talk about here next. But God now is doing something different. The 12 recognize that. They understand that. They give to Paul the right hands of fellowship, you know, publicly. And they figured it out. Now, why hasn't Christendom figured it out? Is that a fair question? I mean, if the 12 understood it and saw it and realized it, then, I mean, why? It's not rocket science. I mean, we can see this thing and we can understand this. Okay? Now, here's something that I really want you to get. I want you to get number 4, and this may be all we're going to get to tonight. Number 4 is this. The 12 preached the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of God, which I'll explain. Paul, on the other hand, he preached what's called the gospel of Christ and the gospel of grace. You're in Galatians 1. Look with me at verse 11, please. Galatians 1:11, church. Paul says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, Neither was I taught it. But notice how he got his gospel. How did he get it, church? End of verse 12. Revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, if you cross-reference that over with Ephesians chapter 3, which probably wouldn't be a bad idea if you can get that in hand real quick, Galatians, Ephesians, it's just a few pages. But if you go over to Ephesians 3, the next book of the Bible, he explains something to you about this revelation that he got. Look at Ephesians 3:1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation, there it is again, he made known unto me, now notice what he calls it here. He said that Christ by revelation made known unto him what? The mystery. So the mystery is something that was hitherto unrevealed. He said in verse 4, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Get this statement in your handout. It says, this revelation, this gospel that Paul preached, this revelation had previously been kept a... Does anybody want to take a guess?
Secret.
Good. You guys are with me. It had previously been kept a secret. It was a mystery. And by the way, that's why Paul calls it my gospel. Do you ever read that? You ever read? Several times in his epistles, he calls it my gospel. My gospel. My gospel. That's why. Because Paul received it by direct revelation of Jesus Christ. He didn't get it from Peter. It wasn't Peter's gospel. He says, my gospel. It wasn't James. It wasn't John's. He said, it's my gospel. In Galatians chapter 2, if you keep your bookmark in Ephesians 3, go back to Galatians 2. And look what Paul says here, Galatians 2, verse 2. When he goes up to Jerusalem to defend his gospel, look what he says in Galatians 2, 2. You really need to see this. Galatians 2, 2. And I went up by revelation, went to Jerusalem, and I communicated unto them that gospel which what? I preach. Who did he preach it among? The Gentiles. But privately, he shared this gospel privately to them which were of reputation. In other words, the bigwigs in the church in Jerusalem. He shared it with them privately, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. He wanted to make sure he had the backing of those leaders at Jerusalem before it went into the public meeting. See? So there's something really special going on here. He calls this the gospel that I preach. Let me ask you something. If Paul was preaching the exact same thing that the 12 had been preaching since the day of Pentecost, would there have been any need to get privately with them and get behind closed doors and make sure they were with him, yes or no? Of course not. So clearly there was a difference in what was going on. And here's what Paul calls it. Paul calls his gospel, now get this, I don't know if it's in your handout. Let me see if it is, because it's kind of important. Yes, it's in your handout. Paul calls this gospel, his gospel, the gospel of what? Christ. Now that is a unique, that phrase, that particular terminology is unique to Paul. Okay, if you study it and you get out your Bible study program, computer program, whatever, and you type in gospel of Christ, you're only going to find Paul using the phrase gospel of Christ. That is unique to Paul. Look at Galatians 1, verse 7. I'll show it to you. Galatians 1, 7. Verse 6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert, notice what he calls it, the gospel of Christ. What is this gospel? Get this in your handout. This gospel simply proclaims that a Gentile can be saved by faith alone in the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, look with me, and I got to hurry. I got to talk fast. Look at Romans chapter 3. You say, Pastor Dan, you always talk fast. Well, I got to talk faster. All right, Romans 3. Romans 3. If you're a little sluggish tonight, say, you know what? He's going to talk fast. I'm going to listen fast. Romans 3. Look at verse 21. He's explaining the gospel of Christ here, of course, at the beginning of Romans. And he says in verse 21, he's going to define it. But now the righteousness of God, and what's the next three words, church? They're important. Without the law. What were the Judaizers telling the Gentiles? They were saying, you're not saved by faith alone. You've got to keep the law of Moses, Acts 15, 1 and 2. Well, look what he says. The righteousness, that's not Paul's gospel. Paul's gospel was the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that what?
Believe.
They believe. For there is no difference. This is the gospel of Christ. And it first shows up, and we saw last week in Acts 13, 38 and 39 on Paul's first missionary journey. Paul also calls it the gospel of the grace of God. A Jew or Gentile alike can be saved and completely forgiven of all their sins by simple faith in the gospel of Christ. And you know what happens the moment they put their faith in Christ? God's Spirit then takes them and places them in the body of Christ. What a message. You know why we're passionate about missionaries? You know why we're passionate about missions? You say, well, I don't understand why we do all that. You know, why do we take money and throw it away into these missionaries and all these other countries? The reason why we're passionate about it, folks, is because the gospel, the grace of God, the gospel of Christ, is a glorious, glorious message.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something right now. What we're doing right now isn't enough. It's not enough. Do you think there's a cause? Do you think there's a cause, church? Is there a cause? Like David said, is there not a cause? I mean, is there not a cause to help missionaries get to the field? Do we have a gospel that will change lives? Do we have a gospel that's good news? Do we have a gospel of works or a gospel of grace? Do we have a gospel of faith alone or a gospel of the law? Faith alone. And man, this is good news. And that's why we get behind these missionaries and we encourage them and we support them. Because listen, they're going to the front lines of the battle where Satan is blinding people with his religious systems out there. And they're going out there on the front lines of the battle. And you know what? They're like Paul. Man, they're going out there in enemy territory. They're going out into some climates sometimes that are hostile to the gospel. Because religious systems have a foothold. But like Paul, they say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We've got to get the gospel of Christ out. My, it's important. In Matthew 28, you remember, if you'll turn back to Matthew 24, when Christ sent the 12, or when He gave them their great commission, He told them to go and teach all nations. Remember that? We just read it, Matthew 28. He said, I want you to go out and teach all nations. Well, what gospel, when He said in Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel, in their minds, what gospel were they thinking of? It couldn't have been Paul's gospel because it hadn't even been revealed yet. Now look at me. Matthew 28 is several years removed from when Paul got saved. So when Christ says to them, you're going to go into the world and preach the gospel, they're not thinking the gospel of the grace of God that you and I preach. That hadn't even been revealed to Paul yet. Paul said he got that by revelation of Jesus Christ, had to go teach it to the 12 and explain it to them. So we know it's not that. Now, we can go back, we can devotionalize it, we can read that into it and act like it is the gospel we preach and everything, and there's application there. But I want you to understand, in their minds, 5 days before He said, go preach the gospel, look at Matthew 24 and let me show you what He told them. Matthew 24. This is just literally days before He would go to the cross, 3 days later be raised from the dead, and then appear to the 12. So this isn't months or years. This is days removed from when He told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So what gospel were they thinking of when He said that? Look at Matthew 24:14. Well, let's go up to verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the what?
Kingdom
shall be preached where?
In all the world.
For a witness unto who?
All nations.
And then what's going to happen?
The end.
So when he says to them in Mark 16 to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and he says in Matthew 28, teach all nations, what gospel do you think they're thinking of? What did he just tell them days before that? Gospel of the kingdom. In your handout, it says Matthew 24:14 identifies it as the gospel of the kingdom. What is that? In context, what is that? It was the good news. The gospel just means good news. It was the good news that Christ is returning to earth. Okay, is that in your handout, by the way?
Yeah.
All right. The good news that Christ is returning to earth, okay, and will establish a literal, physical, visible kingdom on the earth. Now, this, look at Matthew, if you wonder about the context, look at Matthew 24:27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So look at verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall, notice, see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he's going to send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet and gather together his elect from the four winds. Go over to Matthew 25, the next chapter. This is all part of the same discourse. Matthew 25:31. He says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered what? Now I wonder who's going to go gather them. Who was supposed to go into all the nations? The 12, right? So the 12 are, when Christ returns, remember he said, you won't go over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. So when the Son of Man comes in his glory, sits on that throne in Jerusalem, his ambassadors, his representatives are going to be the 12 who are going to then go out, okay, along with the believing remnant of Israel, to evangelize what's left of the nations after the tribulation so that they can make a decision at that point and come into the kingdom. Now, look at Matthew 6, and I want you to notice something here. Go back to Matthew chapter 6, and I want you to notice here that this is what the 12 were instructed to pray for. This is what they were looking for. This is what they were told to pray for. This was the message they were to proclaim, this good news of the kingdom. Christ is the Messiah. He's risen from the dead. And look at Matthew 6:10 or verse 9. After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom what?
Come.
Thy will be done where, church?
In earth
as it is in heaven. So they're to go out and proclaim that message, see, to Israel first. Christ is the Messiah. He's risen from the dead. Repent, turn to Him, and He's coming back. He's coming back to give that kingdom. That's good news if you're a Jew. He's coming back with the kingdom. Last thing, Acts 3. That's the last passage we'll go to. Acts chapter 3. They understood their commission. Okay? They understood it much better than I think Christendom does. And they went out and they preached exactly what they were told to preach. They went and they preached to Israel here in Acts chapter 3. And they told Israel that they crucified their Messiah, but that He had risen, and they should repent and prepare themselves for His return. Look at verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. What's God going to do? According to verse 20, if Israel will repent, if they'll accept it, what's the good news? Who's going to come?
Jesus
is going to come. And look at verse 21. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. Christ is going to come and bring the restitution of all things. He's going to come and bring in that kingdom that they were instructed to pray for and to proclaim. Now, here's what I want you to understand. When I talked about the gospel of God, we studied this a few weeks ago, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time. Romans 1, 1 through 4 defines the gospel of God. Paul and the 12 proclaimed the gospel of God, because the gospel of God simply was this: that Christ died, He was buried, and He rose again. Okay? That's the foundation of the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of the grace of God. You understand that? The gospel of God, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. That's the foundational element for the gospel of the kingdom. There can be no kingdom if there's not a risen Savior. Amen? So they can't go out with the good news of the kingdom if Christ hasn't risen. So they're going to go out and preach Christ is risen. The kingdom's coming. Repent. Get right. He's coming. He's going to pour His wrath out. Well, Paul, on the other hand, okay, his foundation is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But then he goes out preaching the gospel of Christ. When he was asked, "What must I do to be saved?" What did he say? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." When Peter was asked, "What shall we do on the day of Pentecost?" He said to Israel, "Repent, be water baptized, then you'll get the Holy Spirit, and you'll get the remission of sins when Christ comes back." Y'all see the difference? So the gospel of the kingdom, which the 12 went out to proclaim, okay, that's different than the gospel of Christ, which Paul got by revelation from Christ from heaven. Now, which one are we going out proclaiming today? The gospel of Christ. That's right. We're preaching the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God. Amen? And man, that's why we're getting these missionaries in here, because we're excited about helping them get that gospel out. All right, so next week, we'll cover the last two points of this. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You for Your Word tonight. And I pray, Father, that we will understand, Lord, these differing commissions, what they mean, and Lord, put them in their proper place and perspective so we can appreciate them for what they are. Father, I pray now that we will, Lord, rightly divide Your Word, and that we will be busy proclaiming the gospel of Christ and helping missionaries to get to the field so they can proclaim the gospel of Christ. We love You so much, Father, and thank You for giving us such a glorious, glorious message through our apostle of the Gentiles, Paul. Thank You for saving him and giving him this gospel and this commission. How thankful we are, and Father, may we be found continuing on with what He started. And Lord, we love You, and thank You for this time we've had around Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.